right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the beef?
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's Hollywood Greasy out here. What up, yo?
Oh, Hollywood Greasy.
Yeah, Hollywood swinging.
Yeah. Oh, hoo, hoo. Not yet.
That's what's good, yo. Yo, before we get into the show heavy, yo, I'm kind of like you now, Swerve. Shit, I bought me a phone off eBay.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
You eBaying now, nigga?
See, what happened, my phone, you know what I'm saying, had some age on it. It was getting a little slow and shit. I'm like, okay, I want another phone, but I don't want a new phone and shit. I'm not a phone diva, you know.
Oh, like, you're not one of them phone niggas that need one every, as soon as it come out, you got to get the new shit, stand in line for that shit?
Stand in line.
Nah, son. So the only thing I can say I'm an Android cat. I mean, I came from Apple, but I'm an Android cat. So I wanted that Google Pixel, not the Pixel 2.
Oh, I thought you wanted that Pixel 2, nigga.
Nah, I told you, I'm not a phone diva. So anyway, I wanted the original Pixel headphone jack and shit, you know, because I am a dinosaur.
You wasn't fucking with that Bluetooth?
So I'm looking on different shits. I'm looking on Amazon. I'm looking on Swappa, To and Fro. Shit's Pixel's still going for like $450.
Oh, the phones is more expensive than laptops, nigga.
Nigga, first of all, I ain't kiss my ass with that. But I was, you know, I'm not a, you know, a phone diva, but I was like, fuck it. So I end up on eBay and shit. I'm looking, fucking come across the phone and shit, you know. It's like, it's $279. I'm like, oh, hold up.
Hold up, hold up.
Exactly. Kurt G is sitting behind me and shit. I'm looking at the phone. He's like, I don't know. Why don't you go ahead and buy it, B?
This nigga still had reservations.
Yeah.
Because the shit is $400. You see some shit for $279. You're like, I don't know. Something wrong with that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm like, B, just get it. Send that shit back if it ain't right.
So,
exactly.
Fucking, I was like, fuck it. I ordered a phone and shit. The ESN come back clean. Everything's lovely and shit. Hey, like, it got scratches on the face. First of all, I can't even see the scratches.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's just that people are real phone divas. I mean, that type of shit to have niggas like, oh, fuck that. Yeah, this shit is lovely for niggas, so.
That's what's up, because I can't see going to any of these phone places paying $800, $1,000 for a fucking phone, yo.
They're called smartphones, B. Yeah, they have replaced laptops. And they have replaced cell phones. They're all one thing now. You just have to pay for them separately.
Oh, don't forget it's a camera. It's a
camera. It's a fucking music center. It's everything. All of that in one. So you don't need all those separate things anymore. So you just need one thing at a phone. So they're putting all that price into one thing.
Nah.
Yeah, well, still, I'm off that Jordan costing 50 cents to be made and costing $250. I ain't really trying to do it. My phone right here, which is an Apple. I'm not a fan of either one, though. I don't care. I just have what I have, and it works. But it's going to be here until it don't work no more.
to the screen is cracked.
Yeah, it's already... Well, it's not cracked, but the... trust me, my phone is not in A1. A diva would look at my phone and shit on it right away.
A pish-posh. You're holding around with that old-ass Apple? That's
but it worked.
Brown now.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's a 7 Plus, and it's working, so...
That's real.
A 6 Plus. I'm sorry. It's a 6. I'm way back there.
Oh, yeah. You're old, nigga.
So, anyway, before we really get into the show proper, I got one more thing on the docket. We've been, for a while, been in here recording old 12 inches, you know, to get the original 12 inches digital, basically so we don't get caught slipping playing our age bracket music. So we going through, we did Gang Stars and we did a lot of Mobb Deep 90 shit, going through joints, Sugar Hill Records.
Yeah, basically transferring the vinyl to the digital.
Right, basically. So anyway, last week we did Public Enemy. and we're doing all these Public Enemy 12 inches and shit. And I played one 12 inch that to me is the most underrated Public Enemy record, is the Pete Rock remix of Night Train.
Night Train.
Yeah.
That shit is absolutely, Chuck D's going absolutely ham. It's on the Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Back album. Of course, you see it.
There it is.
So anyway, yeah, Pete Rock, excellent remix. Chuck D's going, you know, he's definitely doing his thing. It's so underrated. It wasn't a hit for them. I don't know why. It's a great sounding 12 inch. Flavor Flav is, you know, doing his Joker shit. I mean, it's a very good 12 inch. So, you know, if the chain gets a chance to check it out. Night Train, Pete Rock remix.
So Pete Rock hit me. Enough respect, dude.
So that's what's good. All right, so
at some point we gonna get in some hip hop digest, though, right?
Yes. Now we, I guess we
can hear now show. We can start the show.
You're right. Now with enough chit chat, I guess just talk the shit. First topic on the hip hop digest is shout out to Chris Lehman. This topic is partly because of the text chain conversation when he was talking about other people, or what's the line, how other people get on other people's albums, a la De La, 2 Chainz, or 2 Chainz De La, however you want to see it. Which brings me fully in.
Which came up because of the Royce the 5'9" and Uzi Vert joint.
Correct.
Yeah.
My example is Snoop Dogg. This is the actual first topic. First off, Snoop Dogg gospel album and the hip hop line.
First topic on the Hip Hop Digest
is Snoop Dogg's gospel album and the hip hop line. Snoop Dogg presents the Bible of Love album and has secured the number one spot on the top gospel album chart for the week of March 31st.
What? He done found a way to get a number one album, didn't he?
Divided into two chapters, chapter one and chapter two, the album consists of 32 tracks.
Oh, my goodness.
Amongst the artists featured on the project are, but certainly not limited to, Charlie Wilson, Kim Burrell, the Clark Sisters,
that's
John
real.
P. Key.
That's real.
Marvin Sapp.
That's definitely real.
Mary.
Okay, that's real.
Fred Hammond.
Oh, he got some real ones on there.
Patti LaBelle.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So, yo. I listened to 7 of the 32 tracks, just sort of skipping through. And my overall situation about the album. Now, to me, this is the hip hop line. Shout out to Chris Lehman. If you're guest starring on somebody's track, or you're doing somebody else's genre, or you're a hip hop guy and you find yourself in something else, depends on how well you do it. There are some people, Talib Kweli, who I feel embarrass themselves with records with Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
Some people not as much. You know, 2 Chainz for one has shown, you know, shit, he can do all right and sound all right, you know, about that. Now back to Snoop and the gospel album. Quality.
Really?
Oh, nigga.
Sounds good for gospel?
Nigga.
Wow.
I listened to 7 out of the 32 tracks. Tracks I listened to. Now, you gotta understand, Snoop Dogg presents.
Okay.
He's doing the DJ Khaled of gospel here. Okay? He's not exactly jumping in front of the talent, but he's presenting. Okay? Snoop's on a few tracks. Daz Dillinger, some other people you wouldn't expect.
Blasphemy.
I bet you some folks is calling blasphemy in the gospel world.
So yes, I do believe that there are some gospel aficionados that will not be happy with some of the personnel who showed up on the track.
Marcellus style?
But I gotta tell you, the record is damn good. Snoop.
So let me ask you this, sir, before you go further. Is it a gospel album, or are them folks that you just named rapping on there?
Well, Snoop's rapping, Daz is rapping, Snoop's also singing. Singing.
Oh,
Snoop is singing.
Boy, you just.
Oh my Lord, 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 Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Snoop is singing. Snoop's doing a combination.
Bless his heart.
Snoop's doing a combination. But to me, Chris Lehman asks, where's the hip-hop line? To me, the line has to be drawn on quality. There are some people, if you show up on, like, I scarcely can find veterans who sound good over trap beats. I find most veterans embarrass themselves over trap beats.
Because they can't find the right pocket to rap, to rhyme over them joints is what it is. Most of them can't find, but they're used to rhyming over sample-based tracks, boom-bap type of tracks. So the pocket you have to get in to rhyme over those tracks is usually that Migos triplet flow. You end up usually end up doing that. So you're like, damn, you trying to sound like them niggas. So you have to try to get in this within the right pocket on them motherfuckers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think that there is a line of, let's say, we don't think any veteran in the rap genre can't do features or anything. I think it's a matter of quality. I think you're taking your own legacy in your hands.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, are you really embarrassing yourself out there? And this particular situation, Snoop is not embarrassing himself.
So is that going to be the new thing to do gospel? Because I hear Nicki Minaj on the joint with Tasha Cobbs.
Yeah. And I believe, and this is a separate issue, I believe that black gospel music is starving for what rap celebrity brings. Mm-hmm. So
they're trying to reach out to the youth.
Yes,
I guess.
I think they are, but I think, don't get it twisted, a lot of gospel celebrities, they're singing. I don't necessarily think they're singing specifically in edification of the Lord. I mean, they want the fame and they want a lot of stuff that rap brings you. So that's my personal opinion.
Presence of the Lord.
That's just,
you saying edification back there, brother?
Hey, that's just my personal opinion. Now, please, I don't know how God moves. Maybe he needs that to bring people in.
You gotta move in the slums. Jesus was in the slums.
He was.
With the hoods. He wasn't hanging out in the church with all them folk.
Now, for full disclosure, that's double-minded. I'm double-minded because...
Yes, you are.
Because I accept when house cats do it. I accept when Louis Vega does it. I accept when DJ Spin does it. They're playing it in the biggest discotheques in Europe and around the world.
You know what type of folk hang out in them spots. And
exactly. So...
But let me ask you, though, Killer.
My man.
And Curtis. I mean, King Killer especially used to be hardline, B. George Wallace, segregation today, segregation tomorrow. So you okay with all this mixing up now?
See.
It's okay?
No.
As long as it's quality, it's okay?
I'm still a pretty good segregationist. But you said the key word, quality and in embarrassing themselves. And that's kind of been my philosophy all along. Because it wasn't that I didn't want Quincy Jones to do a hip-hop record or a rap album, but he didn't do it very well. And I think...
You can say it sucked.
So I thought that was a problem.
Back on the block?
Yeah. You know, I didn't...
Call it.
Right.
It was in the hallway?
In the hall.
So, I don't know.
I think that it's a new thing. It's a reach. It's really a reach, because and no offense to gospel music per se, but you know, gospel music has always stayed away from rap music. You know what I'm saying? And looked down upon and frowned upon.
I guess at some point in time you're gonna have to reach over to the other side and start to bring them up. And you start to see that things have changed. You're going to have to do something if you want to try to reach that market or try to reach those people and get their ears. Because you're not going to get their ears by continuing to stay in the church and continuing to do the traditional gospel style music.
There you go.
So you have to reach.
We don't hear Donnie McClurk in the club.
Oh, you might.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You might.
And you got
Marvin Sapp and R. Kelly. And they hard about that one. They don't like that one.
Yeah. For obvious reasons.
But that joint's hot, though. Running on front.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. So, but I'm just saying, but to me, amongst the gospel class, wanting that recognition that, that again, that rap can bring you. Now, let's do some quick history on this. Nobody got beat heavy, got beat harder when they started to transition, because the father of all of this is Kirk Franklin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kirk Franklin is the one who had the original sample based tracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he started with that. Yeah. He came in.
The church did not like it. Not one bit.
They still don't like it, but they had to accept it. They had to accept it. Stomp.
So it was Kirk Franklin. So now you got Snoop again. Like I said, he's largely playing the Khaled role on this album. Okay, he's not necessarily jumping in front of the talent, but son, there are more than a few joints on there.
The names you named are straight up gospel. A lot of them are straight gospel artists, and I know that.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of gospel music, so I do know a lot of those names are straight up.
So
maybe Snoop will the real be deal. Spiritual
they are the real deal.
So anyway, so let's get back. Let's do a quick round table again. For me, King Killer, I believe that if you are a hip hop artist, quality always has to be in front. Okay, I know a lot of guys are about quantity, and we're definitely gonna get into that later. But quality in this case, especially when it comes to the veterans, you're not embarrassing yourself. Okay, you know, I don't think 2 Chainz necessarily embarrass themselves on the De La. I don't think he embarrassed himself on that new Prime. Actually, shit, when they was on Jimmy Kimmel, 2 Chainz sound a hell of a lot better than Royce. I'm being dead ass.
But, damn, yo.
Hey, man, I'm just being dead ass. Damn. You know, you ain't no cut cards on this show.
You might get, as you say all the time, called on the carpet for that shit.
On that particular record, live on Kimmel, 2 Chainz sounded a hell of a lot better than Royce. Wow. But that being said, quality, son, is the key to that acid test. That's the line for me. I don't know about y'all two.
But for me, I don't have a line. I don't care what you do. If you really want to do it, just fucking do it. But don't get mad when niggas call you, like you said, call you to the carpet about that shit. Because when you reach over and do some stuff with somebody, you know that, especially if you're a veteran or somebody that's respected as a lyricist like Royce is, when you do some shit with somebody that's considered a non-lyricist, people gonna call you on that. And you know it. No matter how you be like trying to switch it up and act like, okay, well, we need to reach out to these young boys. We can't be just calling them mumble artists. We can't just be doing that. We got to reach and give them this and this. For me, I feel like, why is it always us, it seems like, us that have to reach over across to them, to bring them over to our side? Why aren't these young boys looking to go to the library and read a book and learn about their history, or open to go to somebody that's a veteran in the game and say, you know what, I want to come to you, instead of us having to reach to them? And usually when we reach to them, we go down to their level. When we reach over to their side, we go down to their level.
Before King Killer starts to retort, let me just get in real quick. I swear, I'm going to be quick.
I got my hand up in class. Yeah.
All right. So for me, as long as it's not coming across as pandering, I'm cool with it.
Okay.
If Snoop wants to make a record with Katy Perry and it's dope, so be it. But if Snoop is like, yo, they offer me a check, or whoever. I'm saying Snoop, but whoever. If, as long as it's, like King Killer said, quality, it's all good. But if it's clear that it's a pandering situation and you just looking for another stream of income or a wish, you just wishing on a star, then I'm not with that. So there you go, King Killer. Back to you, sir.
No, I was just thinking of the couple of examples, like you never see a trap nigga who wanting to reach back and saying, oh, I contacted Preem for a beat, or I contacted so-and-so and such. You never see that. And even if you do see it, the potential pitfalls, ask Macklemore, who they shitted on Macklemore when he trotted out Melly Mel and them. They shitted on Macklemore. So now that situation was not quality. That fucked it up for me, because the quality wasn't there. And to a certain extent, maybe Melly Mel and whoever else is on the track did it for money. You know, all the above. But there's a potential pitfall, and Kirchie says, and I take that note, it's always the veterans seemingly like they gotta reach for lesser.
I got an answer for that, though.
Oh, sure, no problem.
And this goes across eras and time. When you're on, you are the fucking man or woman.
Of course.
You ain't thinking about reaching no fucking body because you it, right? So that doesn't matter if it's the Migos or Rakim. When you are on, there you don't have no need or thought or desire to go reach and have anybody else on your cut, let alone somebody from before, right?
So true.
So I don't really...
And Big Daddy Kane,
bad mark. It just is what it is.
And Big Daddy Kane said that. He was like, look, and in defense of all the young folk who are doing it and doing it big now, Big Daddy Kane said, don't front, because ain't none of us from our class ever reach back. So
There you go. Until you ain't the man no more. Then you looking for ways to get back. So then you reaching.
I get you that. But that wasn't my point. It was just that when somebody is reaching, it's always the older cat reaching over,
right,
to try to get the younger cat. So I'm like, why are you even doing it?
But that's what I'm saying, though, because as you get older, your shine kind of goes away.
Damn,
so you got somebody who's hot, and not all old cats do this, but you get and I'm saying older, excuse me. So you got somebody whose shine is dull now, and a rapper X or Lil X or whoever is hot. There are some that might want to reach over there. Now, I'm not saying that Royce was not hot anymore.
But see, in the underground, Royce is hot. In the underground level, in the underground, he's hot.
See,
so on that, so they're basically, Uzi Vert is like, and him is on the same level, if you want to call it that, as far as hotness on their levels. That's about an equal level, equal playing field right there. So that was an
easy... But pandering then.
But that
possibly.
But it could be considered just reaching across, but I'm looking at it like
that's pandering.
It is pandering. But like I said, I don't care whether you pander or not. That's your problem. But don't be mad is my problem. As an old head cat or a young cat, if you get caught pandering and niggas call you on it, don't get upset about it.
Jada Kiss.
You decided to do it.
Jada Kiss.
Can young boys pander though? Or is that only the older cats that can pander?
It depends on what they're doing. Young cats would probably have to
pander. I can't imagine a young cat pandering.
But they might not be able to pander as far as musically pandering. But they could do shit as far as advertising. Hmm. Reaching out, trying to do these commercials with motherfuckers and be like, what the fuck are you doing that shit for when them niggas is known to shit on black people? You know what I'm saying? Okay. And you're doing that for a check.
That's a different kind of pandering, but
right.
I got you.
You're doing that shit for that check.
Yes.
All right. That's what's good. All right, let's get into it. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Rest in Paradise to Linda Brown. And you may ask, who's Linda Brown? She was the center. Linda Brown was the Brown and the center of Brown versus Board of Education. Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka, 1954, was a landmark Supreme Court case in which the Supreme Court declared state laws establishing separate public schools for black and white students to be unconstitutional.
What year again was that, sir?
1954.
Not too
long ago, for real.
Well, the NAACP Chief Counsel Thurgood Marshall argued the case before the Supreme Court. The decision effectively overturned the Plessy versus Ferguson decision of 1896, which allowed state-sponsored segregation. One of the most biggest highlights of my life is the day that I met Justice Marshall back when I was in the military working at the Navy Bethesda Neurology Clinic. And Justice Marshall came through a few times. I got to meet Justice Marshall just to be in his presence. My man Charles Gatewood, when Justice Marshall first got there, he ran out front and shit, you know, was like, yo, this is Thurgood Marshall. He's like, Justice Marshall, can I have an autograph? Justice Marshall said, I don't do autographs, son. But just to be in his presence is one of the highlights of my life. So, but anyway, but back to Miss Brown. She was the Brown in Brown versus Board of Education, and she passed away. And, you know, for some younger listeners who may not know about that, Google it.
Isn't she the little girl with that picture where the National Guard is walking her with the guns?
No, that's the George Wallace into the schoolhouse jump off.
That's the segregation now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right, that's the George Wallace jump off. She was just the person who brung the suit against, you know, the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, who was still like, stay at the black school.
Right. You know, you stay can't, over there.
Come, you can't come to the white school.
Should have listened. Well, never mind.
Oh, boy.
Malcolm.
Lil Malcolm? Is that you, Lil Malcolm?
He done peeked around the corner. Get back in that goddamn room.
Throw a pillow at his ass.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's keep it moving. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Lil Xan or Xanax, or I think he changed his name. Doesn't matter. We all know who he is. Recent comments about Tupac and what we've learned. There's a few things that we've learned, or at least that I learned this week, that was absolutely blew me away. First off, I didn't know that Stat Quo was his manager.
Oh, see.
That shit blew me away.
Stat Quo getting checks.
Yes, he is. As the manager of that horse shit.
You got excuse T.I. now.
Oh, nigga.
He's probably not the only person you'd be blown away with, though. A lot of these niggas is probably getting checks on the in the background.
Nigga, that boy, let me tell you.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. And also what we've learned is that his comments were due to the fact that he claims, at least this is what he claims, that he was more of a fan of Big L. And while they were in New York, he wanted his manager, Stat Quo, to take him over to 139 and Lenox Avenue to sort of take in Big L's former surroundings. So, damn, B. So, if Stat Quo was his manager, first of all, Stat Quo's doing a piss-poor job.
Because, clearly not.
How so?
No, because Stat Quo should have known to tell the young boy, you know, you can say a lot of things, you can voice your opinion, but do not make any ignorant comments to the two or maybe three sacred cows that are deceased right now. But Tupac's one of them.
You can't control everything that comes out of people's mouths.
That's true.
Being but their manager, doing mother, father, whatever, you can't control what comes out of people's mouths. They just say it. So
and
you're
also
deal with
living
the
in an information age where everything is right there. The people right. are and microphone in your face, and you can't. Like Curtis said, you can't control that mouth.
Instantly, a quick tweet.
Exactly.
Boom. And boom. It's out there.
So.
And he might have been cool with it because today, again, notoriety is priority.
That's true. So, okay. All right. On that level, if you're talking about strictly your name being dropped, just like on this show, then maybe Stat Quo's doing a good job. But I'm talking about the long-term credibility about his client. It makes Xan look like a dumbass just for even saying it. I mean, look, I get on the show and I say I wasn't a Tupac guy. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I respect the legacy and I own Tupac records. That's not, you know.
That's why I don't argue with you about it.
Huh?
That's why I don't argue with you about it, because you do know at the end of the day.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Value Tupac.
Oh, of course. Yes, no doubt. But you just can't come out and say what he said as a total untruth, uneducated ignoramus. That's ridiculous. Right. You know? Right. And then you would have got a lot more mileage, and maybe the people up at the radio station didn't let him get it out that he was more of a fan of Big L. I find that absolutely incredible, and I don't exactly know if I believe it. It may be a convenient excuse, but we can't say.
Well, what we do know is that the media chooses to cut and paste and edit comments and stuff like that. So, I mean, you could always give that leverage because he did say Big L. He did say where he went because he wanted to soak it in. So, I mean, that's plausible, right?
It's plausible.
They should have played the record with Big L and Tupac. She played that one for him.
So, all right, that's what's good. We're going to keep it moving. Hip Hop Digest. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Apple denies reports it's shutting down music downloads in 2019. Rumors stem from a recent interview Apple executive Jimmy Iovine, which Kurji likes to call him the
devil,
with the BBC, where he predicted that it would be inevitable for iTunes to phase out downloading due to streaming's immense popularity. According to Swervin's former employer, the RIAA, digital downloads fell to 1.3 billion in 2017, down 25% from the previous year. Apple Music has their hands around the throat of the consumer, but not squeezing just yet. B. We're not soothsayers on this show. I mean, we predicted that that is going to happen. That you will not be holding personal MP3s on your device. The gate will be up.
Yeah.
A nickel bag gets sold in the park. They want in, right?
They want in, yeah.
They definitely want in.
And if the nickel bags are being sold and you can't get in, you got to pay to get the nickel bag, right?
Right,
there's,
absolutely.
There's
the nickel.
There's no, you know, the MP3 players are finished. You know, people aren't even keeping them on their phones anymore. None of that.
Six songs on my
real. You got six real songs on your joint.
I got six.
Well, you know what? I keep a bevy of songs on my
But phone. You're a dinosaur, my nigga.
I keep forgetting about that.
You keep forgetting that you're a fucking T-Rex.
So,
Yeah, wow. I only have six for space. No, I'm just playing.
Yo, check it out. How do you, I guess, you know, if you are a millennial and this is your time, you're like, let Apple manage the music for me.
Why do I need to download it? That's and all too, that stuff. I don't need it.
Keep
Why
up with
I downloading
that shit?
It when I could just hit play?
Yeah,
Type
true.
In the artist and hit play. That's it. I'm good. And after that, they're going to control the playlist for me. I don't even have to deal with it anymore.
So now, let me ask you a technology. It's a future question of technology. Swerve, what is the stop Apple Music or Spotify or any of the players from doing this? We will no longer feature reggaeton.
There's nothing stopping them from that. They could do whatever the fuck they want.
Really?
But they can do that.
Okay, wait. What would be stopping them from doing that is saying, fuck it, we don't need that money. So they're not going to do that, per se, because there's a fan base for that, right?
Right, there's a fan base for that type of music, right.
So this is the key thing. So, but I'm saying, but they're in total control. So
exactly. So okay. at some point in time, let's say somebody does something. I see where you're going.
Yeah, they,
let's say
thank
at some
you.
Point in time, let's say, let's just say the Maple Leaf does something very controversial, like a controversial Bill Cosby style.
Oh, or they
decide that they're going to pull all of his music.
There
and
you go.
Can't even listen to his shit no more.
Oh yeah, nothing can stop them from doing that.
So niggas won't even be able to hear his music nowhere, period.
So if they catch the Maple Leaf... No, he's right. No, you got to look at it. You got to reel. Let's say they catch the Maple Leaf in a R. Kelly, but Ooh. Caught.
And some and caught, some caught. And some real nasty shit.
Right, and but caught.
Where okay. niggas is going to pull.
Now, I mean, they can. And then the outcry happens. You know, get his stuff off of there. See, unlike C. Dolores Tucker or the Reverend who's steamrolling rap records, you know, mm-hmm. that's a symbol.
That's just their copy of it.
Right.
All the other people still have their copy. These niggas can steamroll the Maple Leaf completely. And if you ain't got physical copies of the Maple Leaf, right. you won't have it. It's gone.
Yes, because that's what we mentioned before. You don't own these goddamn...
You don't own it. You don't own these streaming. You're just playing it. You don't own it. So if you don't actually have a physical copy of it, it's gone. So if they decide to say this artist did some shit bad enough to get removed, he's gone.
It's over.
Well, I could see a young person or a millennial right now. Oh, you old motherfuckers. That's a lot of hyperbole.
But we're talking facts here. But it may not be something as somebody as big as him, but let's say somebody smaller, even such. That does something. It's like, fuck it, pull his music off. He's done.
But you do know that there will be one format that will fight for the rights and of this person's, you know, the O.J. Simpson thing. Do we take O.J. out of the Hall of Fame?
You know, somebody's going to play it. It'll be on somebody's format, exactly. Of course. Yeah, of course. Exactly. You're right. Somebody will decide just because they know they're going to get that money. Because there's still going to be a bunch of people that still want to hear Drake songs. They're going to say, fuck that.
No doubt.
I can hear them over here on this platform because they're going to continue to play it.
No doubt.
But if the big boys take you out, though,
it's going to hurt. Because this bootleg nigga is not going to be able to pay you for playing your shit. Them other cats is paying you.
YouTube is actively removing KKK and skinhead and heritage music, a lot of that, you know, fucking bunker music, Montana shit off YouTube. Actively removing it.
Huh? Good luck with
that. I know that they can do it.
They can do it, but good luck with that.
I'm just putting that out there. You have already some of that action going on. A lot of skinhead albums.
Under a different name or whatever the fuck and throw it back up there. So it's back in there. They can do it, but it's not some Facebook shit where the niggas is in the back room controlling all of this shit. That's ugly.
Right.
All right, so
the gate is open. B is hard. It could happen, but it'd be real hard to close that gate.
Okay, I'm just saying, as a guy who likes physical copies, I mean, I
get it, B. I guess at some point in time, I would think that these youngins are going to want to start having physical copies because something like that is going to make them want to have it.
As a guy who likes physical copies and has physical copies of the Biz Markie album that was yanked from Gilbert O'Sullivan, or the guy who has the physical copies of Ice-T's Cop Killer, that whole album from Body Count before Charlton Heston got to it, you know.
Cold dead hands.
Right.
NRA's in a whole different place now, ain't they?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, they are.
These young kids are on a revolution style. So they trying to get their ahead.
So I know I'm a dinosaur on that, but I'm a guy who has the physical copies of joints that was taken off shelves. Yanked. Yep. So,
right.
Yeah. Literally.
Right. And it could happen, B. It could easily happen. And it would take something like that happening for these youngins to start wanting physical copies. But even in that, the record companies and these other people still win. It doesn't matter whether you want physical copies or not. They're ready for that. So if the shit gets shut down, only people that's going to be hurt is Spotify. Because Apple Music say, fuck it, you back to downloading again? Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see about that. So, speaking of the Maple Leaf, we'll get right into the next topic on Hip Hop Digest. This topic is brought to you by, I don't want to mispronounce a brother's name here. The next to last topic here, I always mispronounce it. That one right there.
Miss Shoud.
Okay, this is brought to you by Miss Shoud. And I'm also want to give a shout out to Larry Legendary, who also was in this topic. He says to us, and I found this pretty interesting, Drake will get props later in his career, as much as y'all deny it, for the following reasons. He has skill when he wants to, and he has too many hits. And then, of course, Larry Legendary asked for a playlist, which was provided. I'm going to say this. I'm not a Drake denier, and right now, you're playing with house money. I think the odds are probably 70-30 that the way you describe Drake is being put in the rafters, you know, alongside Rakim and Jay-Z and that is pretty good. I intellectually know that, and I admit that, but I'm not a denier. But after being in this game for so long and measuring the amount of superstars that have come and gone, I'ma continue to bet that Drake, although he may be honored, but there's going to be an asterisk, sort of like steroids. And a couple of reasons why. It's not in any order, but the first reason that comes to mind would be the fact that Drake has a lot of hits, but a lot of hits not having to sell anything. And that's different. I mean, you're talking about breaking Beatles records and breaking Michael Jackson's and this, that, and the third. But he really hasn't had to sell anything. And I know he's popular, okay? My second thing about Drake is that the skill factor. Somebody is going to start analyzing this shit from a pure fiduciary perspective. okay? And we've done this on the show countless times. We'll continue to do it. If tomorrow I find out that, you know, somebody is co-writing a lot of Black Thought lyrics, ooh, he goes down.
Oh, hard.
He goes down immediately.
He takes a big dip.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, because hip hop and especially MCing is that special. Okay. In the same way, no one in their right mind, Khaled got a lot of fans and he has DJ in front of his name, but he's not better than Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, come on.
I mean, he's not better than DJ Scratch. No, I'm just saying. So, as I'm saying,
Khaled's nice on the DJ, though. I won't front on him. Khaled has skills.
Wait, I think he's not talking about that in per se. He's talking about being able to do what those other cats do with the word DJ.
I've seen a very young Khaled, okay, do some things, but I think he's not able to do that now.
He's still doing some stuff, but he's not at that level anymore. No,
okay,
he's
so
not there.
Jeff is still, if not better, than when he was a youngster. So, but anyway, let me continue on. My next topic is that, you know, is no one right now can find any reason why Drake wouldn't be honored in the future for his work. You know why? Because the lights are on him white hot. So it's hard. You were going to have to wait till later. And I'm counting on the music industry to eat Drake up like they do most people. Once he starts to dim and the next uber popular from wherever, from whoever comes along. And I ain't talking about Kendrick and I ain't talking about J. Cole. I'm talking about the next.
Talking about some 10-year-old right now.
Right, that's somebody who's 10 right now that we don't know about. Dims Drake light. Dims it enough that motherfuckers start thinking. All those records you name, all that, you take two records from each album and you have a classic hip-hop album. I think that he makes so many records and it makes it that at the point where that's a lot of material. It's a lot of material. But is material really holding up? Drake, again, like I said, right now it's 70-30 and I'm on the wrong side of that equation. But after 30 years in the game and seeing the heights of a lot of guys dim and the work that some guys gotta take. Look, Jay-Z had to work. Now I know his wife buffered him a little bit, but yeah, Jay-Z had to work because his reputation started to get sullied.
Yeah, he's there, but I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna come with this. Okay, Drake will be in the Raptors and he will get his position. But like you said, the asterisk will be there. He won't get it as a lyricist. He won't get his position won't be as what those other guys are.
But then that puts him in a different pot. That puts him in, then instead of in the rafters amongst the greatest MCs, Drake ends up to me in the rafters amongst the popular.
That's where he'll be.
That means it is a Jay, it's Diddy, it's, you know, guys like that who are just popular for generations.
Right, that's where he'll be.
That's where he'll be.
That's where he's going to be at. That's where he's going to end up at. I mean, I know Drake is a superstar right now, and everything he's making is probably blowing the fuck up like it is. And Drake is, like I said, he is this generation's Rakim. He really is to them.
Ooh,
they love it. Not to us, like I said, but he is their Rakim. He is their guy. When he drops shit, that's what they love. For hip-hop purists, no, that's not what he is. But for rap guys, he is theirs. Shit. Okay. The Weeknd is like Luther Vandross to these niggas. Weeknd can't fucking sing, if you ask me. That nigga fucking sucks. But The Weeknd is fucking Luther Vandross to these 20-somethings. They love this nigga. So what can we say about Drake? Drake is that.
Yeah, but what I'm concerned, and I can't take that away, but see, the people who care dearly about the total evolution of the culture, and that means the different ideas, the ideas from shows like ours, to say, you know what, he will be remembered, but to me, on a different line. He cannot be mentioned amongst the greats as far as MCs. He can be mentioned the great as far as famous, known music makers.
And that's where he'll be. Yeah.
P. Right. Diddy, Drake, I mean, Khaled, I guess, if you want.
Are you talking about just of this age group or this time of all time?
Well, no, I'm talking about, well, see, to me, you got it. There's a couple of lines here. There's a line of him, the A, number one, that he is more of a guy like, you know, they always say pop, you know, other genres co-write or they write for other people and they don't do that. But see, that's not hip hop. See, we're different in hip hop. If you want to be pop, then be pop. Okay, nobody's saying anything about Michael Jackson shit being co-written because it was always co-written.
Right.
You know, Michael Jackson wasn't writing that shit.
But hip hop rap music is different than other genres of music, though. So.
Exactly. Correct.
Correct. So that's why he won't get in the rafters under hip hop. He'll get in the rafters under pop.
Right. And so,
and again, that's okay.
Right, that's cool. That's plenty. And that's where I want to, that's ultimately what I want to get to. But a couple of dividing lines are, again, he doesn't have to sell anything. So it's going to be divided amongst those who didn't have to sell. They're very popular. Once your popularity is in place, you don't have to sell. That just happens organically. The media services are out there. Like you said, you pick up your device, you click it, boom. That's credit. And that means a lot to this generation. When God's plan dropped, your boy Aaron Williams, who is a stan for Aubrey, you know, the Maple Leaf, he had click for click breakdown of how much money made off God's plan streaming. That means a lot to them.
But that's their generation, B.
No, but I'm just saying.
This is what they believe in, son. You got to understand that, and that's hard for us to understand. But this is a generation where how many followers you got is everything to these niggas.
See,
that means everything. To us, that means absolutely nothing. I don't give a fuck if a nigga only got one follower. If he's nice, he's fucking nice. But if a nigga got 10 million followers, he's the shit.
And he's
that nigga. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a motherfucker like Hammer that sold so many records. He was the shit.
I grant you that.
But that's what this is.
I grant you that. And I do understand that. But that's why I'm counting on this current to eat their own. Because like you said, some unknown 10-year-old will, instead of the billion plus clicks that Drake has, little rapper Poop has surpassed the trillion clicks. Fucking crazy, better than Drake, nigga. Drake only had 6 billion. My man is 2 trillion clicks. That's what we're getting to. You're not gonna fucking put the Beatles in that same category.
Well, because like you said, they don't have to sell it. It's not like you said before. You don't have to go to the store, buy it, take it home, unwrap it.
You forgot to get dressed.
You know, don't forget. Yeah, that's right. Don't forget. You got to get dressed. You got to put on a shirt, shoes to get in the store, and pants, and then take that shit home and play it. You don't have to do that no more. You just click your phone. The shit automatically comes to you. You can pick and then play it.
So I'm not disrespecting the Maple Leaf in that way. I do understand. And again, shout out to Miss Child and everybody, you know, and all the Drake people who was like, you guys are just on this nigga too much. I'm not. I want to put him in a proper historical perspective, and being in the game as long as I've been in the game and seeing guys be white hot. But then once they dim, at the end of the day, their legacy says something totally different. I believe that's the case with Aubrey. And I believe that Aubrey is more of a pop star than he really is a proficient MC. And to me, at the end of the day, that tells a story. I'll take the 70-30 odds and I'll stick with my 30.
And that is an undisputable truth you just mentioned, too. So,
right.
People can try, but that is what it is. And it's okay.
It's cool. It's cool. Right. We have no problem with him being a pop star.
People look at us like we are just trying to put dents in that armor. We're not. We're just saying what it is. That's it. There is no feeling involved in it. It just is what it is.
My man. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Now we're gonna finally get around to the Roxanne Shanté film review. I watched it, Joan. I know Swervin's watched it. Kurt G, I'm sure you were delinquent.
No, I watched it.
Oh,
Oh, I watched it before you watched it, nigga.
Put your keys down. You are not driving the bus, sir.
Exactly, nigga. I just kicked you in the ass.
Oh, boy, you ain't lying.
Called me delinquent. Fuck you.
Oh, man, he had his little Trailways hat on.
Yeah, he did. Running. The old school Greyhound joint,
damn,
too.
Damn, can you believe that, yo? Nah, B, I just got carjacked.
Motherfucking Peter Pan driving, nigga.
Oh, shit.
All right, I apologize for that, sir. So anyway, we're going to go through the joint. Roxanne Shanté film review, since we all seen it. For me, first thing, I'm going to give a shout out to the young person, Shanté Adams, who plays Roxanne. Man, she did a hell of a job.
She looked a lot like her, too.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Didn't she?
Yep.
Oh, she did a hell of a job. I don't believe that that can be understated. How good of a job. As much in a lot of hip-hop films, a crazy bad acting. Mm-hmm. Oh, she did her thing. You know? So, I'm going to give a shout-out to her. My next thing is a hip-hop historical marker here. I believe that Shanté and her entire legacy would have been totally swept under the rug. People wanting to start female history with Nicki Minaj. People wanting to start female history with, you know, maybe some Eve fans out there, or Missy Elliott, you know.
Maybe even Lauryn Hill.
Maybe even Lauryn Hill, which is unfortunate. The historical markers, I think that the film covered the fact that Sparky D was mentioned in the film.
Yeah.
That is.
Not just mentioned, she was in it.
She was in it.
Right. Which is a great historical marker. Type of history that if you're a young person and you really want to dig and see what the fuss is all about, it's a lot of meat on the bone. So I think the film definitely did that. After that, it was her story. I think a lot of people were getting on there thinking that we're just going to see a fucking documentary, grainy footage of Coogee Rap and Molly Mall doing Widgetry and the studio and everything. Nah, this was a personal her story, and it filled in a lot of gaps for me personally, and you know, we'll talk about that. I mean, those are some of the three highlights. I got some other things, but I'm gonna let y'all get in and tell me what you thought.
You want to go, sir?
Okay, well, I thought the film was pretty good. Like you said, I felt like the actors that they had in there did their job. Nia Long, it was good to see her. I hadn't seen her in a minute. I was like, okay, that's Nia did her thing.
Oh, she did.
She did her thing in that joint. And the other kid, yo, I really didn't like that nigga. I was like, whoa, he doing his part, you know? Beating Shanté ass. I was like, oh, this nigga. If you make me not like you on the screen, you doing your damn job.
Yeah, I gotta admit, he got a little Lawrence Fishburne when he, you know, I felt that same, you know, when I was like, ooh, damn. Oh, fuck that nigga.
So, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, the actors, I said, they did a good job picking the actors on this joint. And I thought, actually, for the total film, I gave it a B as far as I would give it.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to start mine with an apology. Because like Moonlight didn't really, in the advertisements, they didn't really tell you what it was about, right? So you were left to your own devices. When I saw the ads for Moonlight, I thought it was about the story of a young man growing up. I didn't understand the real story until I saw the movie, and I was like, what the fuck?
Right.
But then I had to give it credit because it was a good movie, right? So for Roxanne, I was expecting, I wasn't told to expect a hip-hop movie, but I was expecting a hip-hop movie. So upon watching it, I'm thinking, okay, when are we gonna, blah, 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 you know? But then after watching the whole thing, digesting it, I was like, it was about her. It wasn't supposed to be about hip-hop. It, like King Killer said, it was her story. And realizing that after the fact, I can sit back and say, yeah, it was a very, very good movie. Very good acting. It told her story very well. And so I'm like Kurt G. I probably would put a plus after my B. But it was definitely a movie worth watching. It told a domestic violence style story that just so happened to be in a hip-hop realm. So it was good to me. Again, like I said, I expected something, but then once I got past my expectations and saw what it was, I think it was very good.
No doubt. I think for me, I think the gaps, when I talk about some of the gaps are filled in. I mean, when Roxanne Revenge comes out, she's 14.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know. So when Roxanne Revenge comes out, she's 14, okay? Literally, by the time she's 19 or 20, she's done.
Mm-hmm.
She's done. And yeah, obviously, the abuse in a relationship with a foul old head certainly explains the gaps in her recording career and, mm-hmm, and maybe some of the later material, which I have to say, because it kind of touched me personally, the abuse on one hand. But yeah, I guess, remember, I know two particular girls that I liked as a young man who I could not pull due to the fact that I'm 17 trying to, you know, I'm trying to holler at somebody. I can't pull it. Come to find out some old heads, some motherfucker Fritz up the block. Fritz like 30.
Call it.
Hold on, B. Me and Fritz the same age.
Nah, nigga. He up the block, right? I can't compete with that. You know, so in the 80s with Shantae, that was prevalent. Okay? Yeah. Me and Kurt G would tell you, we be coming out of high school, and grown men
standing out there
in the park. You know,
it's crazy.
Crazy.
Everybody's like, what the fuck is going on out here?
Yeah.
Nigga, you graduated 8 years ago.
Right.
What the fuck you doing out
standing
here?
Standing in front of the high.
Four tops.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so, man, come
my
on.
My time.
So, I felt personally, yeah, I felt personally, you know, fucked up about that, because that kind of reminded me of the lost love I never had a chance to. You know what I mean? But, and two, you.
Mai Tai.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas coming out the Mai Tai, waiting for the
that's
girls to get out of high school.
My first real drink, my nigga, at the Mai Tai.
Y'all niggas bugging.
I took him on a reminiscent trip.
So anyway, and then let's finish it up. By the time Shantae's first album came out, Bad Sister in 89, it was, I believe, Molly Mall's worst production. Now, that could be due to a lot of things. Molly Mall may have still been in the grips of a cocaine addiction, or he was halfway out of Cold Chillin' Records. In any case, that was some of his worst production. There was records on there I like, Live on Stage, Have a Nice Day, Go On Girl.
Oh, Go On Girl, yeah.
Which was a hot record, but on the album, misguided hip house remixes. You know, a record like Whack It, which, you know, shout to JJ Fad, was their style, and they were scrambling. Oh, you gotta make a record like JJ Fad. It just a lot of missteps by the time her first album came out and it was over. But as singles go, and as the female coming directly at guys big, guys on top. UTFO was big. They was on top. You know, in later records, she comes at Run DMC directly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But Pete Gendo, even all of that talk in the movie about how she was killing heads at battles and stuff, I ain't seen nobody dispute that.
No one.
No one's disputing that. No one's.
Especially in this day and age when niggas will hop back on a video quick and be like, nah, she lying.
Nah.
Right? Yeah.
Now, nobody said shit. Right. So you know there's a lot of truth in the shit that she was saying.
Right. So
see, Nas come out and say that didn't happen.
Nah, well, Nas ain't saying that. So and there's too many Queensbridge guys who could have gotten jealous and tried to blow her game up. I haven't heard Shan. I haven't heard any of them say that that's not true. But all that being said, again, a Run DMC big came at them directly. You know, Boogie Down Productions big. You know, coming at them directly. Boogie Down Productions stands for Broken Down Punks. You know what I'm saying? She was like, I don't mean to diss the whole Boogie Down, but just a couple suckers from that part of town. Just, yes, man. Sir. Yo, Shantae.
KRS-One, your name sounds like a whack radio station.
Come on, man. Nah. So, yes. So, these other female artists, you know, they getting a lot of shine and nobody made it, but I'm glad the movie was made specifically about her, and I hope it's a teaching moment to those of you who do not know.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
So, and I know Bagari Black hates it.
He hates every damn movie.
I just had to say that.
Yeah.
Drunk Unk.
Shout out Bagari. It's good. Yo, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, and this is actually awesome. This is awesome. Wendy's, the hamburger chain, drops...
Awesome and Wendy's in the same language?
Yes, Wendy's, the hamburger chain, drops beef mixtape and starts a beef with other fast food chains. The name of the mixtape is called We Beefin'. On March the 23rd...
I'm waiting for you to get to the awesome part.
Yo, son. I'm telling you. March the 23rd, Wendy's debuted a mixtape with all songs available free on streaming services, with nearly all the songs about other fast food restaurants, beef. So Wendy's goes in to clown all kinds of people. Burger King, McDonald's are called out on several tracks. The name of the title, Twitter Fingers, Holding It Down, Resting Grease, and
you
4
for 4. You clearly didn't listen to this shit.
Nigga, I listened to the entire mixtape.
Where is the awesome part at?
I listened to the entire mixtape.
Okay, then who do they have rhyming on this shit? Please get to the awesome, because the awesome has to be the niggas that's rhyming.
I don't know who's rhyming.
And you said it's awesome?
It's awesome.
And it's awesome?
It's awesome.
I got
it. It wasn't awesome enough for you to read the liner notes or whatever and see who was rapping?
See, first you got to calm down. I'm going to tell you why it's awesome.
Sit back, nigga.
I'm going to tell you why. Calm down. I'm going to tell you why it's awesome. Because when you listen to Wendy's beefing mixtape, you are going to say to yourself,
where's the beef?
No, this sounds like every other trap record that comes out this year.
Exactly.
I find it absolutely awesome. And even trap niggas, please get on the text chain. If you a trap nigga, especially you, Kirk G, because you fancy yourself a trap guy, and tell me that this Wendy shit ain't as much as equal to any other, any Lil or any Young or any of these niggas that's gonna come out the next 2 years doing trap.
Why is it awesome?
It's
awesome because for all the respect and all the y'all motherfuckers don't respect us, y'all nigga motherfuckers, but y'all gonna learn to respect the king. Trap is the king. Nigga, you got a fucking fast food company putting out shit that sounds just like all of y'all shit. Okay, that's awesome.
But that's just that's a nod to how good that they are the king, that they put out a whole mixtape about with nothing but trap shit.
It's a shot to pop culture.
Well,
because fuck that. Every time you say you hate Sprite, we can go back and say the Sprite was the first fucking commercial beverage or whatever to do that kind of shit. And they did have Nas and Slick Rick and whoever else, Karis One.
No, check this out.
St. Ives did it the best.
No, yeah, true. Shout out to St. Ives.
Right, again, no, same thing as fucking
okay,
Wendy's.
Okay, so check this out. You said Sprite did it good, and Sprite would have and done it official, right?
In the beginning.
Okay, right. Yeah. And then you would say St. Ives did it well, right?
They did it the best.
Okay, but look at all the exploitation out there. That Fruity Pebbles Barney scratching on the pterodactyl, that was exploitation. You know what I'm saying? Hammer coming off the bus dancing for chicken, that was exploitation. Yep. Okay, here we are. I think it's pretty awesome that trap guys will have to admit that the burger chain caught the essence of their culture, and if they trying to say it's whack, they lying.
Let me tell you what's going on.
Tell him what's going on. Please.
So Wendy's and McDonald's, if you don't know this, because I know you be tipping in Twitter and Instagram and all that every now and then, but they have a long-standing beef.
They do.
They've always been saying, they both of those social media managers have Twitter fingers. And they do it because it's part of pop culture, which is what Twitter is. 30 years ago, there wasn't no fucking Twitter. There is now Twitter. It's huge. Everybody has a fucking ability to use their thumbs on that shit. So some genius at Wendy's and or McDonald's, and Burger King for that matter, started saying popular shit on their tweets, and it got on. So just like Wendy's, KFC, Fruity Pebbles, and everybody else, they have seen what pop culture is. And again, we're not talking about hip-hop. It's not a fucking hip-hop mixtape. It's a rap culture-based fucking mixtape.
When I say it's awesome, that's why
it sounds like these motherfuckers is on the radio.
No doubt, but when I say it's awesome, let me calm everybody down. I'm being facetious here.
Thank you very much for clearing that.
Okay. I'm being facetious, see, but I'm also...
We took you seriously, nigga.
No, but I am serious about one aspect of it. Is that when you listen to this, son, you cannot say that these niggas don't sound like trap producers and trap rappers just as anything good. I guarantee if somebody dropped those records blindly in the middle of the party, the people who like trap are not going to diss it. They're going to be like, oh, it's any other record.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Shit. Sort of like if somebody dropped something that was so unofficial, you know, back in our days, we spot that shit immediately. What's that shit?
Right.
Yep.
You know?
But just like you just, I think Curtis said about St. Ives, go to the corner store, you know what I'm looking for. St. Ives. Right?
We singing in this bitch. Bless our heart. Bless our heart.
We couldn't front.
I'm being facetious in the fact that I think it's awesome, but I think it's awesome in the fact that Wendy's caught, they totally encapsulated what is popular about trap culture, and they nailed it. And
yes, they did.
You know what I'm saying? And hey, maybe there's some trap guys who may be like, nah, man, they trying to exploit trap. I doubt it, but
well, we didn't hate on St. Ives.
No, we didn't. We didn't hate on St. Ives, and they was exploiting too.
Even Ice Cube on that shit. That's why I'm saying I'm not giving any props to that. I mean, they're just following the fucking technique.
I guess. Ice Cube.
That was hot on the internet for a minute there.
I guess. What your boy Ice Cube say on that line at St. Ives? He was like, St. Ives liquor make your Jimmy thicker.
Shut your mouth.
Damn.
So, all right, let's keep it rocking. Kurt G, world famous, albums of the week.
Hold up. Wait. Brothers?
What the fuck?
I'm on my Nate dog. I'm sorry.
I see that shit.
But we forgot, yo. We almost forgot. We didn't forget because here I'm saying it. We got to draw a name, yo. I turned to the James this week.
We did send that shit to me earlier this week. I forgot about that shit. Damn, hey, wait, hold up. Let me shake the bucket. Fuck it.
I hate the bucket.
I'm shaking it. All right, B, reach your fucking name out of there.
I'm reaching a name in the bucket, and the name we got this week is Ricky Romaine.
Ravishing Ricky.
There we go.
So, Ricky.
Twitter follower.
So, shout out to Ricky. When you get on, you better hurry up and get on, or we're going to pull another one.
No doubt.
But shout out to you.
Avid listener, so should be hearing his name right now.
Exactly.
Okay, no doubt. So,
Now
we're going to do it. World famous Kurt G, albums of the week.
All right. This week, we got Oze Moore in the Wake of O. That's Oze Moore in the Wake of O. Then we got Rawmatic, The States versus Rawmatic. That's Rawmatic, The States versus Rawmatic. And the instrumental joint is Clem Beats Natural. That's Clem Beats Natural.
All right. So, damn, we was in long this week, y'all.
Yeah, we went over an hour this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give out. People ask for it all the time. And speaking of that, I'd like to give a Hip Hop Digest medical minute. Just a medical minute.
Okay.
You know how we do. We keep it real, right?
Okay.
So, your boy, E Color, E Greasio, Hollywood Greasy and all that shit has been slipping, yo. I had to go for my, I didn't have to go, but I went for my physical last week. Blood pressure was sky high, yo.
Damn.
So your boy, I haven't been riding my bike. I haven't been exercising, nothing. I just been tearing up some fried chicken and whatever else. And my ass got put back on pills, yo. So I'm going to say this to the brothers out there. Yo, keep aware of your health, yo. Don't be slipping. I hate taking pills. And I'm going to work what I got to do to whatever I got to do to get off this shit. Because I'm about natural wellness. Feel me?
That's real.
But when I saw those numbers, I was like, yo, I got to do it.
That's real.
I'm trying to be around for a while.
That's real. Actually, my advice would be the fact that, A, if African Americans, the problem is we may not have access to health care. And if we do, especially black men, ain't trying to take no pills. Okay. The key thing is, see, I'm a pill taker. I also have high blood pressure and I got AFib. So I'm on fucking like 4 pills, but that's okay because I take that shit. You know, you got to take care of yourself in the fact that you got to, again, say it, got to see your doctor. And if they put you on medicine, man, fucking take that shit, done. Be walking around here tripping and shit. It's just a
Do what you got
to
do.
Or do what you got to do not to take it.
Not have to take it. Exercise and do whatever else you got to
do.
Not to have to take those medicines. Niggas be thinking, well, fuck it. I don't need it. I feel good. I'm all right. I don't need to take that shit. Just because you feel good don't mean you feeling good.
Right.
Well, quick side note on that shit. When she told me that she was going to give me this medication, it was like water pills or some other shit. And she was like, well, you know, the one for African-American men I would want to suggest, because I was like, hold on, doc. Excuse me for 1 second. But are you saying that they made a pill specifically for African-American men? Because if you're saying that, I'm not taking that pill. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be doing that. I'm going to take whatever the fuck anybody takes.
Not the Tuskegee experiment?
Yeah, ain't going to be none of that shit. But it turns out that it's just a regular ass water pill, but she said it just happens to work better in the trials for African-American men. She wasn't saying it's made specifically for
What you also got to know is that, first of all, African-Americans have more of a salt allergy. Okay, see, all that chicken and all that heavy salted, you're talking about McDonald's and beef and all of that shit. See, that affects us much more. I mean, we eat a lot more of it, but because African Americans tend to have salt allergies, you know, that the whole game is fucked up anyway. So, you know. All right, so.
It's all good.
That's the Hip Hop Digest Medical Minute. So,
no doubt.
All right, so we go on next week, right?
We out.
All right, that's it.
One.
Peace.
The mounds and mounds of my stid owl hops at the top like fizzing soda pop. The effect of my flicks hit you like a judo chop. And then I get deeper than the boss with the phrasing out the norm, cause I'm amazing at that. Fat like Joe when I swing it. Smokes a microphone like hell when you sting it. Bussin' with the flame, goddamn, the rugged rough. And the proof stay stuffed like a girl when she knocked up. Plus tough to tangle with when I get mental. And burn like a prostitute's genitals. Dangerous with 212 check my hand. My digga came to get total wreck. Total wreck. Your mic control in a single bound lounge for the juvenile with the cordless. Fling your melody at me and I'm a floss it. Launch your metaphor upon it lovely and gorgeous. When angry skills pass the point of fill, that's how I feel when that's not a good enough adjective. So fade to black, the new kid's back on the block. Heart like cement rock, without the Nelly. Blowing up like your daddy belly. Constant finesse as my flow depths. Dangerous with the 1-2 check. Behind my D, you came to get total wrecked. From the grill beat.
3D graphic, drastic. The method man couldn't stop my madness. I'm optimistic like the sounds of blackness. A voice whackness and wet spots on the mattress. When I give it to your man in your bed, cause I'm kinky as the dreads on Ziggy Marley set. Just kidding, but I bust ass like a shit. And when I flows on like a 16-ounce bottle of Evian, words absolutely born, and I'm solo like the horn on the head of a unicorn. Back in Philly, people say that I'm the joint, and the buzz was the first book my face represented on. Dangerous with the 1-2 check for him, I see I came to get total. Get total.
And the man who pulled the trigger didn't even lose his left eye. I checked Jimmy cutting hair at the barbershop. He plays the bass guitar like David plays the harp. His knowledge name is Greek, cause whenever he speaks, he's got the wisdom of King Solomon bags in his eyes from no sleep. Sometimes he thought of the fame in Madison Square Garden. So some seek stardom, but they forget Harlem. But seeking first of all the kingdom of God, that's what my pops told me. So if my ball could the choir catch me, I flew away on a mountain, got tempted by Satan, got bitten by a cobra, but the Lord took my venom. So whose side am I on? I'm on the righteous. Always check the lyrics, no time to contradict.
Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem.
They keep their pockets full, but their souls run empty. Well, ain't your family, I beseech you, in the hopes that I may reach you. My mother told me one day that just meant they would come someday. Born a dope black child with kinky hair grown wild. Some teachers just like me, cause I knew where my cup should be. So now you're my brief history, I can't neglect my passion. See, rock is kinda new to me, cause my true love was poetry. White was good and bad was black, but black was us. And as a laxy dope, and every simple dead, I like to save you from the wicked. We don't care why when we wet, but black tomorrow and tomorrow's dead. The evil beings clad at night, while angels roam his bodies white. Pretty make me comprehend why black was hurt and white can't sit. Time and place to intro, safety hands, and I pray it out to make me see what's wrong with me. That don't make you flee when I enter your vicinity. You see, my God, he never asked of me to show ID why some were free to go and be. But alas, I clearly see what's wrong with me. You do your insecurity of me and my ability. So pretty, won't you let me be your half? Now ask too much from that to tell the truth and not the lie. Oh my.
Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom.
Brothers keep their pockets full, but their souls run empty.
Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem.
Sisters keep their pockets full, but their souls run empty. But as I grew, I knew, cause the master told me, from a baby to a woman, from a woman to a baby. Life is so short, hardcore becomes hard corpse. Step in a coffin where the money's no longer the source. There we go, there we go, there we go. I got mine, I want you, get yours. We never open doors, so we neglect and don't protect the ones that's left. People never really seem to care. And then they cry out, my people, why aren't we treated equal as we flee? We flee our own communities. We leave our family in poverty. And then we blame it on another. So family, please recover. Walk at least, man, you can come and you can blow now if you want to. We're through. Families keep their pockets full, but their souls run empty.
Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem. Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem.
People keep their pockets full, but their souls run empty.
Some seek stardom, they ain't forget Harlem.
We keep our pockets full, but our souls run empty.
Pray, pray, pray. can just keep in step. Understand, to a clear picture, what I'ma hit you with is truly death. These are the words of a queen of a queendom. All competitors, I simply cream them. One by one, I dress and brush them off. If you have any more, bring them up to the front so they can show me what they got. What they got, it better be hot. Cause if it's not, I'ma simply knock them out the box and they be put in a spot. The style I use will surely amuse the party people to a state of gladness. What I mean is I'm on the scene. I'm the queen of royal badness. T-I-F-A-H, voila, say my rhyme, more creates the direct high-tech sound of the dope noise. The bass will pound, I hope girls, I hope boys understand what I'm quoting. I'm not joking, not freaking, this is a queen speaking wise words. When I'm done, I'll leave your eyes blurred. When you address me as your highness, one of hip-hop's finest. You see, I can flow on tempo, off tempo, it makes me no different. So, play that beat, play it, kick it, watch me dig it with dope lyrics. You wanna hear it? Observe my ways and actions. I grab the mic and draw attractions. It takes two to tango, I'ma hit you at all angles. Those who get, I caught a fit and strangled them. The result when a pen and a pad gets mean. See, I'm the queen of royal bags. Wait until the party is jam-packed. When I start to drop it, the people say, damn, Black, the queen is hyped up, awesome and deadly. If you don't dance, then grab a chair and plex B. Composure's kept, blows are thrown in depth. Hard as hell, guard as well as you can. A step off the premises. In 1 minute, it's gonna explode with a style that is limitless. Make your first move, don't let it be your worst move. Cause if you do, you'll be a hurt fool. Keep your mouth shut to those that shout and cuss. It's no doubt I got clout and I'll bust literature that flows like liquid. Some can't comprehend the way I kicked it. So don't say nothing, just listen up, follow instructions. Rock, shake, slide, and dance like Locke said. When I'm on stage, I cold rage and drop heads. Ambidextrous, skilled with both hands. Teaching a lesson, ready to throw jams. Latifah loves to rip up the scenery. It's not special, just the queen to me. So do the knowledge, see if you could catch this. You know what I mean, it's the queen of royal badness.
The crew with the juice, cause I'm the super female that's called Shantae, and like Hurricane Annie, I'll blow your way. Whenever I'm in a battle, yo, I don't play. So you best go about your way and have a nice day.
Nine or 1, 2, 3. Well, he wrote it down with no hesitation. I was hoping he would take it as an invitation. Well, he called my house about 10 that night. Then I felt that everything was falling just right. We talked for about 20 minutes of time. You see, I told him all that was on my mind. I said, since we met, I've been checking you out, and I just have to see what you're all about. He said, baby, love, I'm not like the rest, because what I'm made of is nothing but the best. What separates me from the other guys is personality that can socialize. Now, I can treat you like no other man, because no one can do it like Eddie can. Now, what I have in mind is a little plan about going out, and I hope you can. Because while we're together on our date, we can get a relationship going straight. Then I said, maybe we can give it a chance. I mean, what can happen but a little romance? Then I'll see you later, Miss Foxy Lady. I'll be picking you up in a blue Mercedes. Was that Friday evening, heard at the door was a blue Mercedes I did adore. Well, I got inside and we were on our way. I told him how much I liked this old day. Then we went uptown to check out the sound. I got the car and I looked around. I saw a sign that was on on the door and said, welcome to Studio 54. When we went inside, my ears started popping. The people were dancing like there was no stopping. When I took Eddie's hand and we went on the floor, it gave me more than I bargained for. We did the Spang, we did the Freak, we even did the Flintstone. And everybody there was feeling unique because no one was alone. There was couples here, there was couples there, there were couples damn near everywhere. And all of them were doing their thing while the DJ was rocking like a king. Of the disco beat was spread across the nation. I mean, the man was rocking with a sound sensation. I was rocking the floor like I never thought I could. Just a rocking with a sound and feeling so good. Then the party was over and we had to go. So I went to the movie to check out the show. With the Kung Fu fighters fighting to the end, one fell down and got up again. So when the show came to its end, we were in the car on the road again. So he took me home, walked me to my door. I asked the man what he had in store. He said, I'd like to go in for just a little while. And then he looked at me with an honest smile. So we went inside, sat down to rap. Then the man put his hand on my lap. Then he started to kiss me on my lips. I figured that his mind must have took a trip. So I jumped out my seat, pointed to the door, and said, don't try to see me ever no more.
Don't try to see her ever no more.
So remember, girls, this little tip. Before you let a man take you on a trip, you have to see what he's all about, or he might just want to bust you out.
Bust her out, bust her out. I just want to bust her out.
The fine and of course the pretty. You see, when I make a rap and keep his cool, well, you best believe that could be his best cue. Now the first impression plays a major part. Don't think he can walk up and steal my heart with corny lines that don't have no swing. Like, for example, hey, you sweet thing, see, I'm looking for a man I call my own, the kind that can help me when I'm all alone. So I don't need a man that gets his joys from hanging on the corner and drinking with the boys. You see, I need a man that can treat me good and make me feel like a lady should. Y'all, I rock on y'all. Just a beat, y'all, I rock on y'all.